Try to cut me out, but it just can't. Yeah, they thought they had me down, but it just can't. Don't know why they thought that it would be the same.
All right, everyone, welcome to another great episode of Black Equity Podcast. And man, oh man, today I want to explore. Please give me the room to explore. Please give me the room to not know something so then we can find out more about it. I came across a really great article. It says here from the London Economic. Its title says, Wealth of Nations Index shows exceptional drop for Britain. And on the surface, it would seem, you know, a person who's living in the United States, I don't have any direct ties to Britain or Great Britain. And so you would look at it and say, well, what does this have to do with anything? Well, prior to this article, I never heard of Wealth of Nations Index. And I wanted to know more about it. So I just looked through the article real quick. And it says Britain's Wealth of Nations Index score has dropped off a cliff. Analysis by the Warsaw Enterprise Institute, which uses Wealth of Nations Index to more accurately reflect the annual stream of economic benefits better than GDP, shows a worrisome decline for the UK. So it got me thinking, well, who is the Wealth of Index, the Wealth of Nations Index, and how do I find more about it? So on today's episode, what I want to do is just find out what this thing is, if you will allow me to. So in real time, we're going to learn about the Wealth of Nations Index and then just see what type of information pops back out at us once we just do some searching on it. We're doing this in real time. I've never done this, Wealth of Nations Index. I've never looked this up, and I want to know what it means. And so for those who are interested, join me on today's episode as we explore the Wealth of Nations Index. So I typed in on a search menu of what the Wealth of Index Nations Index is, and it pulled up 2022. Is measuring the wealth of societies. It's considered to be the holy grail of economics. Well, goodness gracious. It's the holy grail of economics? And I didn't know about it. So the wonderful thing that if nothing else you get from this episode is every day you learn something new. And it's okay not to know anything. That's how you find out stuff. All right, the Wealth of Nations Index is here. So I'm clicking on this link here, and we'll see where it takes us for those who are watching on Spotify. Okay, so it takes us to a website that has a wealth ranking of all the different countries. And let me go to the About section. We're on index.wei.org. And hopefully it will just tell me a little bit about what the Wealth of Index is and how they came up with this. Let's see, media, method. Oh, here we go, method. The methodology. The Index of Wealth of Nations measures the accumulation of economic benefits per citizen per year in the European Union and OECD countries. The best known international comparative measure of wealth, the gross domestic product per capita, work similarly. The difference between the two is in the approach of public spending. GDP treats spending on final goods equally, regardless of its source. In its calculation, a zloty spent by individual is equivalent to a zloty spent by the public sector. Thus, it does not matter whether the allocation of resources is decided by the government or citizens. The approach used by the IWN is different. Private spending is calculated in the same way as a calculation of GDP. Government spending, on the other hand, is evaluated by its outcomes rather than its monetary value. The evaluation of a zloty spent by the government depends on how good the public services are. Okay, so let's go back and just look at the rankings and see what it tells us. So when we go back to the homepage of the Wealth of Nations Index, it has wealth ranking. Well, first, it has a quote from Adam Smith. No society can surely be flourishing and happy of which the greater part of the members are poor and miserable. Okay, and it has a wealth ranking. And number one is Ireland. Number two is Switzerland. Number three is the United States. Number four is Norway. Number five is Denmark. Number six is Austria. Number seven is Netherlands. Number eight is Germany. Number nine is Sweden. And number 10 is Australia. So those round out our top 10. Canada makes number 13. I'm just going to name a few that stand out to me. Japan is number 18. Wondering, Portugal is number 26. Trying to see if any African countries are listed. Colombia is number 38. Mexico is 37. Chile is 35. Okay, so it gives you the Warsaw Enterprise Institute does this Wealth of Nations Index, and they'll give you this every year. So the last one was completed in 2022, and it does show us, it does say that we can click on the actual country, and it will show a graph of what they are showing here. On the graph, it shows you the military potential, the internal security, the freedom of assembly, the higher education, schooling, healthcare, and state of environment, infrastructure, and public transport. So these are the areas in which they are measuring the Wealth of Nation Index. So now that we've looked at the website, I just want to do another quick search as well. Wealth of Nation Index. And I just want to see if there's any other news that has come out about the Wealth of Nation Index. And this is the typical things that I'll do to understand what it is I'm looking at. And I mean, people are calling it the Holy Grail of economics. And I want to know exactly what does that mean. So when we type in the Wealth of Nations Index and we type in news, what pops up? Obviously, the first article is the one that we talked about earlier, which was about Great Britain. 2 weeks ago, there was an article about Israel and how its increasing rating and new edition of the Wealth of Nations Index. Let's see, what number were they at? I don't think I saw Israel in the top 30, 38. Did anyone see Israel? For those watching on Spotify, yeah, I didn't see Israel in the top 40. So that's interesting that they're excited about moving up. But let's see what the article says. Israel increases rating in new edition of the Wealth of Nations Index. Israel is one of the few countries whose rank increased by at least two, sharing that with Canada, Turkey, and Croatia. The Warsaw Enterprise Institute created the WNI, stating that it's an innovative measure of economic development and that it evaluates separately the efficiency of public spending and private spending in the economy. Ireland, Switzerland, and the United States all lead the list in the top three, respectively. Okay, so Israel is excited about their role on the national stage. And we'll do one more Google search. Oh, here we go. Estimating the mental wealth of nations, valuing social production and production of investments. That's interesting. And then also when I pull up the Wealth of Nations Index, the Global Finance magazine has the world's richest and poorest countries of 2023. So we'll look at that as well. Because that's part of what we study here. we don't just study the top of the list. We also study the bottom of the list and see where there's opportunities for us as investors, us as social activists, us as advocacy workers. What can we accomplish together? So before we look at the richest and poorest countries, the mental health, mental wealth of nations valuing social production and investment, there's a growing global movement among economic, public policy, and academic communities questioning the appropriateness of gross domestic product, and specifically its growth as an indicator of progress, despite the broad range of indices and dashboards that has been developed to challenge it. GDP remains entrenched as an essential indicator. Humans are social beings. The nature and quality of our social tiers are central to our health and well-being. So they're putting together a list based off of our mental wealth, which that's powerful too. This is a little bit different than what we were looking at before, but these are the types of things that pop up when we put in the Wealth of Nations Index. So I kind of like to look at just different people's ideas around wealth and what it really means. So I wonder, do they have a list of countries and which country would be located where? Conclusions: for far too long, researchers in health, business, economics, and social sciences have worked in relative isolation. So they're proposing that we use this as a measure of the mental wealth of nations. That's interesting. That's something that we'll have to, and they have a chart of how you can calculate it. So this is like this is published April 18, 2023, and they're submitting this for a possible way for us to measure mental wealth, which is pretty dope. This is pretty dope. This is on nature.com, Nature Mental Health. I really do like the idea of this, measuring the mental wealth of nations. And then, as promised, we'll quickly look at, before we head out today, the world's richest and poorest countries of 2023. This was an article by Global Finance. And let's see the ranking. All right. So, and I think they're using the Wealth of Nations Index to help put this together. Let's see where Wealth of Nations Index comes into play. Yeah, so they're using the Wealth of Nations Index to decide the richest and poorest countries. So we'll start with the richest, and then we'll look at the poorest, and then we'll move accordingly from there and see what else we discover. We'll just do the top 10. Number one is Ireland. Number two is Luxembourg. Number three is Singapore. Number four is Qatar. Number five is Maceo. Number six is United Arab. Number seven is Switzerland. Number eight is Norway. Number nine is United States. And number 10, rounding out, is San Marino. And I'm just going to scroll down and see if anything. Israel is number 32. I'm always interested where places in Africa are, maybe South Africa, Kenya, Libya is number 73. I didn't see South Africa yet, but I might have missed it. Oh, there it is. South Africa is 101 out of, it appears to be 193. So at the bottom of the list, we'll do the bottom 10. And you can decide from this information, how can you utilize this to make a better world? Number 193 is South Sudan. Number 192 is Burundi. 191 is Central African Republic. 190 is Somalia. 189 is Democratic Republic of Congo. 188 is Mozambique. 187 is Niger. And 186 is Malawi, followed by Chad and Liberia. And then Madagascar is actually 183. So those are the bottom of the list of poorest countries, as well as the richest countries, as noted by Global Finance. This is all coming up from a discovery episode that we're having today, as we're trying to figure out, when we put in the Wealth of Nations Index, what pops up? What is the algorithm telling us about the Wealth of Nations Index, which is called the Holy Grail of economics? Atlantic Council, back in October of 2022, has the Freedom and Prosperity Indexes, how nations create prosperity that lasts. So all these different studies are coming out, studying countries, studying what's really going on in the world. We'll look at this real quick and see if there is any pieces of wisdom that we can gather before we head out. All right, this website is, oh, it's pulling up now. So yeah, I find this to be quite interesting. Whenever you find a new tool, it's always interesting to kind of like study it and figure out, well, how does this, you know, fit the narrative of the things that I've already been doing? So here on the AtlanticCouncil.org, it says, welcome to the policies world's equivalent to a magazine cover story. These recurring features from the Atlantic Council's top experts weave foundational research and analysis on deeply relevant issues. So let's see if they have. I thought we clicked on this to see the. Oh, here it is. The Freedom and Prosperity Indexes, how nations create prosperity at last. The inaugural Freedom and Prosperity Indexes show that democracies do indeed deliver. It's time to reset the terms of the debate by letting the data do the talking. And the indexes have a lot to tell us. They reveal the most effective ways for governments to invest in their most important resource, their people. Well, that sounds very interesting. It sounds like something worth looking into. So I'm clicking on that now and just seeing what stands out in their reporting, if anything. And as I do that, I'll come back over to the Wealth of, oh, here we go. It's pulling up now. The Freedom and Prosperity Index is how nations create prosperity that lasts. Okay. Our data, which draws from and builds on the invaluable work of several other country indexes, suggests that the best path to prosperity is the same across the world. Through political, economic, and legal freedoms, citizens and countries ranked as free are 13 times as wealthy as those in unfree countries, according to our indexes, and that's not the only way they're prospering. They're also happier, healthier, and part of a more inclusive society, all in tangible ways that we can measure. Okay, so the ones that are free, this is a freedom map, it appears. Green is the most free. And for those watching on Spotify, you'll see United States is green, Canada is green, Chile is green, Uruguay is green. And this is dark green, by the way. Australia is green. New Zealand is green. Japan is green. South Korea is green. Taiwan is green. And then a lot of Europe is green as well. Romania, Poland, Norway, Sweden, and it's what most people would call the global north. For the most part, the global north is the dark green, and then the light green is mostly free. That's where South Africa comes in, Mexico, Morocco. Let's see. Ghana is light green, for those who are interested in that. I was curious to see where Nigeria is. Nigeria is an orange, so it's mostly unfree for those who are interested. So this is supposed to let us know from a freedom standpoint, which countries are most free. And then from a prosperity standpoint, it doesn't really change much as far as the dark green. When we go to which countries are most prosperous, it's the same ones listed, and a few went from dark green to green, just to light green, such as Chile. The usual suspects that were dark green are still dark green. And that's what they were saying, that where you find freedom is typically where you find prosperity. And this is as of the end of last year. So as people are saying that the world is shifting and the US dollar isn't as valuable, things are changing, which they are, it still comes down to which countries have the most freedom to play the game that they want to play. And where the citizens are able to do the things that they want to do. So what I would suggest is if you are, and that's why people are fighting so hard to get to these countries. But if it matters to you, you will do business in a lot of these places that are free, and you will do what you can to help out these areas that are unfree. Mostly unprosperous. They basically have the entire Africa as unprosperous. Now you have to ask yourself, is that real? Is Africa unprosperous? Or is the data wrong? Because nothing in Africa has any green to it. Nothing. It's all orange or red. And majority of these green countries, these dark green countries, most would say that the majority of the people there are of white skin, and the majority of the places that are not prosperous have darker skin. It's hard for me to ignore that part, but it does appear that way. So these are the types of things that pop up. If you care anything about this, these are the things that pop up when you look at the Wealth of Nations Index. Where is wealth concentrated? We're having a global conversation about this thing. So for those out there, for those out there that are now switching their branding to talk about how they care about creating, you know, wealth opportunities for all, I would like to see you go to these orange countries, or at least talk about them. Not just about entertainers and celebrities and like these, the stuff that is very minute, but let's have a global conversation for those who are pretending to care about this. For those who are really doing the advocacy work, thank you. For those who are only pretending and it's just a marketing tool, you have to decide for yourself if you're really in this thing for the long term. And if you are, I would love to work with you and partner with you. I've just shown you 2 to 3 different wealth indexes. One is the Wealth of Nations Index. One is the mental wealth of nations. And now we're looking at the freedom and prosperity indexes, all from going through a discovery. And I'm sure there's hundreds more. But if we don't look at the full story, we're doing a disservice to the entire globe. Why does this matter? One of the reasons why I care so much about this was one of my favorite books is called Outwitting the Devil. I'll tell you this and then we'll head out. It's called Outwitting the Devil by Napoleon Hill. And one of the things that Outwitting the Devil talks about, this is where Napoleon Hill does an interview with the devil, and the devil is forced to answer all the questions. And, you know, it's not necessarily based off of facts, but it was really an eye-opening conversation. And one of the things that was answered by the devil in the book is that the 6 most effective fears are the following: the fear of poverty, criticism, ill health, loss of love, old age, and death. And he spends a lot of time in the book talking about how he wants to keep people in poverty. And he talks about being a drifter and a non-drifter. A drifter doesn't think for themselves, and they're easy to sway. And it says here, the most successful way used by the devil to control people's minds is through the fear of poverty. I know people in some of these orange countries, and they're living great lives from what I can tell. And so when they're saying that, you know, they're not free and they're not prosperous, I don't know about that. But that's what they're saying here. But if you keep telling people that they're in poverty and they have no way of being free, they'll start believing it. So will you allow the data to dictate this, or will you really get out there, go to some of these countries and have real conversations with them? When I started studying Outwitting the Devil, and it really opened my eyes, I said, well, I want to be on the front lines, and I want to make sure that the right information is getting out here about wealth. As I stood on the front lines, as I stood on the front lines of wealth, I started realizing that is where the devil's playground can sometimes be, where people are manipulating information to boost their own egos and boost their own brands or whatever it may be. The front lines of wealth, the story of wealth, is where people are using the fear of poverty to manipulate others. And how do they do it? Because people are afraid of poverty, they'll use things like recession proof. They'll use fear tactics to try to get people to buy their products or services that may or may not be of any true value. And then they get rich off of that information by leveraging the fear of poverty to gain money. And so I want to be, and I am, a voice, a wealth advocate who is telling you the real. As information comes out, we discuss it, we share it, we post it in all the different places where people want us to post it, and we get the message out. Is it necessarily the sexiest information? No. The truth is, the information that is most appetizing is the fantasy that people are using in order to elicit fear of missing out, or the fear of poverty, or the fear of not having enough. People are leveraging that information for their own benefit, their own brands. And I encourage you to stand on the front lines with me and get the right story out here, or before you know it, you'll look up and these people have manipulated entire communities so then they can be at the top and they can pretend to be helping the so-called bottom by connecting them to the top. It's a dangerous game that they play. But I'm on to it. There's a old saying, some people are playing chess, some people are playing checkers. Well, there's this really cool thing called, really, a game called Kemet. Yeah, I just start learning about it. See if I can pull up the board. But it's supposed to be a board game in Egypt. And it was supposed to be as intense as chess is. Oh, it's Senet, not Kemet. I apologize. It's called Senet. Here it is. See this board right here for those watching on Spotify? If they would play, I think you're supposed to get from one side to the other. I haven't mastered the game. A lot of people don't even know what the true rules are. But it's something I've been looking into. I'll probably share about it soon. But I'm getting to the point where people are trying to now play chess, and I have to move and go play Senate. We got to take this thing back to historical, ancient games. But I just laid out to you the holy grail of economics. The holy grail of economics measures where these countries are on the list compared to each other between wealth and poor. And then with that information, I'm challenging you, what are you going to do about that? Are you going to believe that data, or are you going to make some major moves to shift that information? How can you leverage that information to help out your vision that you have for yourself, whatever that vision may be? One of the things that I'm going to be doing is putting out the right information so people can make the best decision. That's part of my purpose. Part of my purpose is, let's at least get the right information out. And then you can decide from there what you're going to do with it. But if we have faulty data, faulty information, manipulated information, there's no way you can really play the game you want to play if you're being misled. So I want to thank you for joining me today and listening to Black Equity Podcast. And thank you for listening to the Holy Grail of Economics. Until next time, my friends, I'm Derek Moultrie of Black Equity Network, and this is Black Equity Podcast.